advised.
Spoiler alert episode. Spoiler.
Please be advised. Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
Okay, welcome to the Passengers fan spoiler ep.
Yes, this is the last of the Kickstarter rewards for backing Long Ago and Far Away, the graphic novel, and we're happy to have Joseph Hummel with us.
Hi, guys.
All the way from San Diego. He drove up just for this movie.
And nothing else.
Yeah, and okay, he had family in town.
He had family in town. Yeah. God, I hope. I hope you had other things.
Yeah, I hope you didn't make your way all the way up here for this movie, because we're angry just from driving 5 minutes to get to the theater.
Yeah, I got to drive home about 25 minutes from here, and it's going to be a lot of rage.
Yeah.
So real quick, this is a spoiler up for the movie Passengers. If you've never heard a spoiler episode before, we reveal key elements of the whole movie, including the ending.
Yeah, but for this movie, there aren't any, so it'll be easy.
It's just a lot of boring bullshit.
Yeah, yeah. But there aren't any key moments in this movie. But,
So if you haven't seen the movie and you don't want it ruined or spoiled for you, then stop and go watch the movie. That being said, here comes Passenger spoiler app. All right, so, Joseph,
Diet Coke.
Oh, sweet. We're getting our drinks.
Yeah, perfect.
Thank you.
Joseph, you're the guest. We'll let you go first. Tell us how much you hated this movie.
Well, first of all, tell everybody who you are a little bit, because most of the time...
Tell them how you make lasers.
Yeah.
All right, I'm Joe Hummel. I'm an engineer out of San Diego. I've been a fan of the show for a couple years now. And I make, I make lasers. I work at a company called Cymer out of San Diego. We make lasers for microchip manufacturing, and... it's more interesting than it sounds, I promise, but not so
more
interesting.
More interesting than this movie.
Not so interesting that you want to hear about it. So it's it's a good time, it's a good job, and I like what I do, but I like movies a lot too, so I'm really excited.
What prompted you to donate this much for Long Ago and Far Away?
Yeah, so we talked earlier, I feel like that as someone who consumes a lot of the media and the artistry that's created by other people. I'm not a big creator. I work a job that takes up a bunch of my time and pretty much spend my time outside of it listening to podcasts, reading books, watching shows, and things like that. And I felt that I really owed a contribution back to the people who do create, and felt like this was a great way to do it, and a great way to get something back for me too, to be able to watch a movie with Chris and Graham, and now rant about it for a while.
Well, we're happy to have you here, and we appreciate the support for sure.
Yeah,
and,
I'm. By the way, if you're new to the spoilers, I'm Graham Elwood,
and I'm Chris Mancini, and this is our spoiler. We do occasional spoiler eps on movies. We'll be going, as Graham said, we'll be going through the entire thing, and here we go.
All right, so Joe, you picked this.
No, I picked it.
You picked it?
Yeah, I picked it.
It's Chris's fault.
Yeah, it's my fault for sure. Here, I thought, oh, we get to see this movie we're excited about early. I'm like, this is great.
Well, this the good thing is, though, yeah. I mean, hopefully we can spread the word on not seeing this.
Because this was supposed to release this Friday, right?
Right. So we got an Arclight. Some of the Arclights will get big movies like this, and they'll release them a couple days early without really advertising.
Yeah, without any fanfare. Like, it went up on the website like the day before.
Yeah.
Like Monday night I saw it. So I'm like, all right, let's do it.
I didn't know until I walked in here.
Right.
So, Joe, what did you think of this film? First of all, let's do this. What did you think of the trailer?
Mm-hmm.
After seeing the trailer, and then what were your expectations coming into this movie?
So I had a roller coaster going into this, because I saw the trailer and I was pretty excited because it looked like cool sci-fi concept. Huge fan of Chris Pratt, and after Guardians, Parks and Rec, all of that. So real excited to see him in something else, and the concept looked pretty awesome. The you know, the whole two people wake up and have to figure out why they were woken up.
Early.
You know,
they woke up 90 days before.
90 years.
90 years, yeah, 90 days. Well, what would they do for 3 months?
Chris Pratt woke up early.
Yeah, so that's the thing, is then I saw that, saw it looked like a good concept. I'd actually originally said, maybe we could go see this, but the days didn't work out, so it ended up working out. So.
Right.
So I was looking forward to seeing it, and then when it sounded like we were going to see a different movie, I saw the reviews for this. I said, okay, you know, what the hell? I'll go ahead and dig into the reviews and see what it looks like. And I saw some pretty rough reviews. So I immediately, those expectations dove straight down. And
whatever you read was justified.
Yeah. And so the big thing that I read... Thank you. The big thing that I read was that I spoiled the end... that's the thing, is I spoiled what I thought was a mid-part reveal, which was that Chris Pratt woke up her.
Right, he wakes her. So
he wakes up first, spends about a year on his own,
and really agonizes about the decision for maybe 10 minutes.
Yeah,
and then decides, I'm going to wake her up.
Yeah, and then he wakes her up.
Yeah.
And,
I'm gonna pick the hottest girl on the pods, so I'm gonna wake her up.
Ruin her life.
Yeah. Ruin her life and wake her up. But you know.
So the implication.
She'll forgive me.
Yeah. The implication I got from what I had read was that you're gonna go into it at the start seeing them both wake up. That's what I was assuming. I thought they weren't going to.
You mean because that's what the trailer told you?
Yeah. It made it seem like they were gonna wake up. It was gonna be made to appear as if they both woke up at the same time. And then halfway through, they'd tell you, oh, yeah, he was awake for a year before and then woke her up. And so it was going to be this big reveal that kind of blew your mind. Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. But I was really not looking forward to that because, to me, that type of reveal would suddenly just be a complete character assassination for Chris Pratt's character. You would be built up with this whole view of him, then have it broken down, and now you're kind of lost for the second half of the movie. Going into it, then I saw that, oh, wow, actually, no, they tell you right from the beginning that he wakes up first. He goes castaway for a year.
Tries to figure it out. And then
Full on castaway beard.
Well, he goes through the whole cycle, right? Mm-hmm. So he figures out, oh, my God, I got to figure out how to get back. He goes through everything to try to either get help, put himself back in hibernation. Mm-hmm. And he's an engineer, so that's convenient. Mm-hmm. So he's a guy that can figure stuff out. He's got a tool belt, it'll fix a quadrillion, however expensive this ship is.
Magical MacGuffin belt.
He's got a magical MacGuffin belt.
But very convenient that he wasn't a chef that woke up, because otherwise, would have been no tension to it at all. He would have just been stuck.
Yeah.
Initially, I was actually feeling better about it when I saw that, okay, they're going to tell you right from the bat, no, they are going to go do the castaway thing. He's going to have his own Wilson, which is the bartender, and kind of goes through that whole process.
Michael
Sheen
is a robot bartender.
Yes.
It's in the trailer.
Technically android, but then he refers to himself as a robot.
Consistency.
Ugh, whatever.
I totally agree with you. Like, I saw that trailer, and we saw it, when we did it at the PodFest show. It was, okay, this is cool. They wake up together, there's something wrong with the ship, and the trailer makes you think there's this big conspiracy, because there's a scene in the trailer that says, there's a reason we woke up too soon. And that scene, not in the movie.
Yeah.
And that plot device, not in the movie.
They keep hinting at it, though.
Yeah.
That's the thing, is every time they cut to the sinister flickering screen
of
the ship diagram, and they'll see things flicker red, and it's all very ominous, and you're thinking, like, okay, Hal's going to wake up soon and start telling him he's taking the ship for its own ride.
And the robot bartender, it's said numerous times, this never happens. So this isn't like a maiden voyage. This company, Homestead, has been doing this for a while.
Yeah.
So we never have a problem with hypersleep. Mm-hmm. It's never a problem. This never happens.
Right.
This shouldn't happen. That's said 1,000 times. So you're right. All of this is set up to where you're thinking. And again, the trailer, my complaint with the trailer was that one line, Chris, that you said, where he goes, actually, we were supposed to be, or whatever.
Yeah.
They give you this feeling. My problem with that trailer was, like, oh, they've revealed too much.
Right.
And then when when Lawrence Fishburne finally comes into it, he wakes up suddenly.
Yes, suddenly. Yeah. For
and you're like, oh, maybe something interesting is going to happen.
And then Lawrence Fishburne spends the whole time thinking, I'd rather be on the Event Horizon ship right now.
Yeah. And he wakes up with some kind of crazy space cancer.
Space disease of 651 variety or something where... oh, and by the way, if you have a ship... It has 5,000 passengers and hundreds of crew
only
members.
One pod.
One medical pod.
You may have more than one medical pod.
That was such bullshit.
Yeah.
Because
then
the
Enterprise have more than one bed?
Oh, God, come on. Because that's the one thing. So when she... When they start dating when he wakes her up, she's under the assumption that her bed malfunctioned just
right.
like his.
Not that he deliberately woke her up.
So they're falling in love. They're trying to make the most of this life. And what do they do? And
by the way, it takes a long time.
A long fucking time. Yeah. And then...
Every scene is used twice.
Jesus.
That's what slows everything down. Like, how many times do we have to use the bartender? How many times do we have to see them put on spacesuits?
Right.
It's like, come on. No, we could have cut 45 minutes off this film and gotten nowhere quicker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then we see him, you know, having sex. And then giggling and thinking everything's great. And then it dawns on them again, oh, my God, we're stuck here. We're going to die. Because the thing is it's going to take 90 years for them to get to the space colony. So they're going to be dead before this.
Right.
So that's the thing. And we're going to die here on this thing. So make the most of it. They say all these things. So then when she... Then the robot tells her that Chris Pratt deliberately opened up. She's furious at him, won't talk to him, mad, hates him. That even goes on too long.
Yes.
And then Lawrence Fishburne wakes up, and he's a crew member, and he can get into the... Because they can't get into the bridge.
The critical systems.
He can. Lawrence Fishburne can. So now you're like, oh, shit. There's even when she's a journalist, right? So she even says... She starts talking about the homestead. Well, they make all this money. It's just about money. And you're like, oh, there's going to be some conspiracy.
Yeah,
it's a test.
They're sending them off into nowhere, and they just took all their money and are going to run. Or something, I don't know.
Let's see what happens. Let's test to find out. Or they skimped on the system.
And the way they set up Jennifer Lawrence as a journalist, she was like the country strong of journalism. I'm good. Yes. So it felt like the country strong of journalism. She was like, oh, well, are you a journalist? Really? Well, I'm a journalist. Really? You don't really even seem like you want to be a journalist. It's just like an extra character trait they threw in at the last minute.
Just to give her to write about it.
Right.
So they needed a voiceover so she can write in her journal and talk about what's happening.
It's Gwyneth Paltrow is the alcoholic country singer. Yes, I believe it. Sure. So it was unbelievable how many things were wrong with this film. Like, even just something as simple as, like, okay, let's say the computer did go crazy and it talked through the bartender, and they would have, like classic science fiction, they would have some interesting existential and metaphysical conversations about why they're there and why they woke up and what's going to happen to them. There was none of that. You know who the villain was in this movie? A meteor.
Yeah.
The meteor hit the ship at the beginning, and you don't know that it actually did damage
to a system.
And that was the thing that was the most frustrating about it, is they do this whole build-up to, like, something sinister is happening.
Right.
Something's going on, and you're thinking, like, oh, my God, like, someone, there's a virus in the system. Someone's awake and is controlling
someone
everything.
Someone deliberately, somebody from the company who's lost in space or something like that.
There's somebody from the company trying to smuggle an alien back in Ripley's body.
And then it turns out, when the meteor hit the beginning and jostled things up a bit, one got through and damaged the reactor, and now they got to fix it.
And now they go clean it.
Yeah. And now the entire system is now kaput because apparently when one system goes down, it affects all the other ones. There's no redundancy in the future on these giant spaceships.
First meteor storm that this ship has ever encountered.
Yeah.
We just end
normally,
up,
I love the lines too. Normally, this ship is meteor proof. Meteor food.
This one got through.
Yeah, there's one got through.
You just end up in much less interesting Apollo 13 by the end.
Yes.
And that's about it. Like, it's...
I don't even know what attracted Chris Pratt and, you know, Jennifer Lawrence to this. It had to be just a paycheck.
Giant paycheck. Well, this is the first time that, to my knowledge, she got more than Chris Pratt. Mm-hmm. So this is one of the first times that... An actress... That was a big moment. And the thing I was watching this, because it's like... So there's been this thing in Hollywood where women don't make as much money. The leading, you know, the A-list women don't make as much as the A-list men. And there's always been this stupid thing in the studios. Oh, women can't open movies. And it's nonsense. And Jennifer Lawrence has really proven that, you know, she's the Hunger Games franchise.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, she's awesome. And then she's done these, you know, Silver Linings Playbook.
Yeah.
And these critically acclaimed movies, these Oscar movies. And so it's like she's earned the right to get more money than him.
Yeah, and she didn't have to show her butt. Chris Pratt did twice.
I know, Chris Pratt had to be naked. We never saw any. We saw her swimming.
We saw silhouettes.
Yeah,
and bikinis and stuff like that, but we didn't see her naked.
No. Conveniently shadowed.
Yes.
Yeah. But, so, as this movie was becoming dumber and more boring, I was like, God, I hope this isn't then the studios going, see what happens when you pay the women the most? Like, she was given a horrible script.
So, yeah. I will say the one shining place in this film was the production design.
Yes.
The ship looked beautiful. Everything looked like it was a combination of futuristic and luxury.
Mm-hmm.
It was like the ship on WALL-E.
Yeah. It felt like
it was a resort ship that, you know, everyone paid top dollar or did something in trade, like Chris Pratt did, mm-hmm. He's an engineer. To be on, and it just felt like every detail in that regard was really meticulously crafted. Like, even, like, everything from the bartender to the bar to the restaurants to the androids to the support robots, that was really cool. I think the production designer should have directed and written the script.
Yeah.
Well, even, the little details that they did, like the fact that when he goes to buy his coffee, it says, oh, that's gold member only,
right.
Gold member only. You get black coffee, no cream and sugar. That's all you qualify for.
Right.
And then she comes out and she can get the pumpkin spice latte, which I at least appreciated that reference.
Mm-hmm. Well, they keep, and I'm looking the movie up on my IMDb, but like, they kept doing all that of like, oh, this is corporate greed. And this is what you get for that
and
fee.
Even that and fell flat.
Do something with it at the end.
Right.
Have corporate greed play into the reason the ship's malfunctioning.
Exactly.
You know, something like the reason they woke up early. Like maybe there are no animals or anything and it's all, or they're in the Matrix. I don't know. Like come up with something that is intriguing at the end, other than just like, oh yeah, one of the meteors got through and damaged the ship.
Yeah, while you guys were falling in love and then fighting.
Yeah.
This is what was going on.
And
neither one was more interesting than the other.
I can tell you why. So it was directed by Morton Tidlam, right? So he did The Imitation Game, which is a really cool movie.
Yeah.
Got a lot of Oscars nominations and whatnot. So I could see why, like, if you're Jennifer Lawrence or Chris Pratt's, you know, people, you'd say, oh, big budget, amazing, you know, production design, and this guy did Imitation
Game. I wonder if this was like a big, like, agent or studio fake out. Like, it was like, they went to the director and said, look, we got Chris Pratt and Jennifer Lawrence, so you should really direct. And they went to Chris Pratt and Jennifer Lawrence, oh, we got the director from The Imitation Game. And they had also, they played like a Hollywood game of chicken.
Until it came together.
Scheme. Yeah.
So it was written by John Splates. I don't know how you pronounce that name. But
what's he do?
He wrote Doctor Strange.
Well, not alone, I don't think.
Oh. Not alone, but he helped write Prometheus.
Again, a lot of writers on Prometheus. You know, when there's like Prometheus. 5 to 6 writers, you're never sure which one was the good one and which one got lucky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Until a few more movies in, then you go, oh, it was you.
Yeah, I just, Prometheus, that's a red flag for me. That's more boring science fiction. But this was, okay, so I want to talk about then, so when Lawrence Fishburne wakes up, we all went, oh, okay, maybe now all we're going to get into it.
Yeah.
No, he's got space cancer and...
Yeah, he's around
dies
for two
in
scenes.
10 minutes.
They shot him out in a weekend.
Yeah. And he's dead, and then, okay, they find out that the meteor blew up is making the dilithium crystals bad or whatever,
right.
in this hodgepodge of science fiction. And then
we gotta find what happened, what's wrong.
So that's blown up and he has to go outside and open a valve door to release the dilithium heat.
Yeah, the pressure, the radiation.
Because the core reactor is gonna blow.
Yes.
And
Of course, the door doesn't open.
The door doesn't
open. Then the door. Then he goes, I got to go do it manually.
There was two. First, there was the touch screen. Clear the thing, and it wouldn't work. Clear the thing, it wouldn't work. And then...
The lever.
The lever pops up. So he's got to go. The lever pulls up, and I was like... I honestly felt like I was watching Austin Powers.
Right.
Like, it really felt like... So they're in this...
And then
this,
that didn't work.
That didn't work. He's got to pull the lever twice, and then the door's jammed.
Yes. Now, push the button.
Push the button. He's got to run out there.
Pull this cord.
Pull a cord.
He's
running around with his space tools, his MacGuffin tool belt, as you said, his bat utility belt, and he's got to go out and open this door. So I'm sorry, Joe, what were you going to say?
Well, it felt like the end of Space Call of Duty, like a video game. Like, you have to, like, go touch this lever. That lever didn't work. Go touch this other lever.
Right.
Go and touch this button. Like, and you have to just get progressively more and more. And the final act
was
there.
The final act was a fetch quest.
Yeah, exactly. Fetch it, make the door open.
Yes. I thought you were going to say it was the end of science fiction.
Yeah.
I hope not. But there was one point, I think, when he went to spin the door, Graham and I both, like, looked at each other and said,
yeah.
Of course.
He spins the door. He spins the thing, then the door doesn't open or only opens.
I have to stay here.
Oh, right. Because he was going to open the door, then get out of the way while the heat comes out. And she's
but his space shield protected him.
That he was just a door that he cut off. So he just basically cut off the door. It's like a car door.
Yeah. That'll protect him from magic bullets.
Yeah.
It'll protect him from a fusion reactor. Yes.
Of course.
And his space suit legs handled it. No problem.
I think we all laughed too at the end when he was spinning off into space and Jennifer Lawrence has to go chase him.
She's on a tethered.
And I'm like, okay, well, he's probably going to be about 1 inch too short.
Yeah.
That's exactly.
We all knew.
Yeah.
As soon as the tether hooked on, you're like, it's going to be too short.
It's going to be too short. Because she's like, I'm getting him. His hands out. And I just was like waiting. And then, boing, she gets pulled back like a dog.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, oh no, he's going to. I'm like, is he really going to die? And she's going to be then... Is she going to just crack open a hot dude? Is that what she's going to get through the rest of the next 85 years? So then, of course, his tether line broke, so it's whisking around. So then, of course, she grabs his...
Right.
Pulls him in.
He's dead.
Yes.
She puts him in
the only one.
For 5,000 people and another 200 some crew members.
Yes.
So 5,300 people, roughly, have one medical thing.
Yeah.
She puts him in there, and the thing's like, oh, no life forms, you're dead. She has to override it, and then there's this screen comes up of all the resuscitation things. Mm-hmm. She just pushes all of them. Some of them are just like steam.
Yeah.
And it's just like, they do
sauna treatment.
Acupuncture.
Like, it's
Reiki healing.
Pedicure.
Tarot cards. Like, they do.
He's still dead, but he looks great.
Yeah.
So all these things are happening. And then I was like, oh yeah, I go, please. And at that point, I was like, this movie's so dumb. I go, please. Have him be dead. She starts crying, and then he starts breathing.
Yep.
And sure enough,
absolutely,
we all looked at each other and went, "Yep,
yep."
Just once in a movie, I want someone to get hit by the defibrillator and wake up right away.
Yeah,
like,
we did it.
Good thing you did that right now, I'm still alive.
Yeah, you can't stay dead that long and come back to life.
Space freezes you.
I was almost waiting for him to, like, I was thinking, like, maybe he'll wake up, but he's a vegetable. Like,
and also it took her a long time to drag him into the auto dock. You know,
he was dead for a good, five minutes. Yeah. Between the cuts reeling him back in. Like, there was no speed reel, and she was at the end of the line. That's going to take a good 2 minutes.
It wasn't like a winch with a motor.
So then...
It was dumber.
But hold on. We got to go into this specific detail. So now he's brought back to life, and they're just like, the ship is fixed, and they're just like, well, you know, this is our life now. While he's fixing the... doing repairs on the one space on the medical pod for 5,300 people.
Probably blown out from trying to resuscitate him in 15 different ways.
The medical steam.
So the one use broke it.
Yeah, the one use broke it.
It only has enough needles for one acupuncture treatment.
It's, and then that's it. So hopefully only one of the 5,300 people will need acupuncture.
Yeah, after being asleep for 90 years. Yes. No one will need medical attention.
No one will need medical attention. He comes to her and says, you know, I found out, because Lawrence Fishburne has a special bracelet that gets him access.
Gets him out of the movie earlier.
Thank God. You know he was. He said he was busy on the screen on the premiere of this. So so Chris Pratt uses Lawrence Fishburne's bracelet and finds out that this pod actually can't do hibernation. Mm. But as we said, there's only one pod on the whole goddamn ship.
I thought it was going to be so dumb that they decided like the last shot was going to be them holding each other together
inside,
into the pod, together,
spooning in the pod, and then it.
Or the people wake up and they go, "Who are, and hey?
Yeah, what are you guys doing in the pod?"
And they're both a little bit older, and it's like, "Well, two people took up, so we had to split the hibernation juice. So we're both in our 50s or something." So no, what happens? She then decides, so then he's at the bar all alone, and you're like, oh, she took the pod. He's talking to the bartender, and she walks up, hi, it's my night, and he marries her, and then they live happily ever after, and she writes her story that assuming, so then they show everybody wake up on the ship 90 years later.
Yeah, and there's a giant tree and eco system in the foyer area with no sunlight.
Right.
I feel like they
Andy
were
Garcia,
trying.
Of course, it's all guys. It's so an all
that,
white
that was
male
Andy
crew.
That was when Andy
was
Garcia?
It Andy Garcia?
Yeah,
it was
I saw him in the credits. Like
yeah.
I saw him in the credits. I was like, where was Andy Garcia? He's the guy who speaks no lines and walks out with a big beard.
So when the crew wakes up.
They had to have Andy Garcia for that.
Again, it's a couple hundred years in the future, and it's an all white guy crew.
Then there had to be another scene. Andy Garcia is not just going to
He's
do a
in
cameo.
Deleted scene on the DVD that's like going to come out
just walking
where he
around
says
the tree.
Yeah. Yeah, and then this tree that he plants has grown into a whole
a giant tree.
Genesis project.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, there's animals and
I feel like there was a really failed environmentalism message intended at the end that they just never fleshed out. They're like, just put the tree in. That's good enough. They'll get it.
No, this is subtext. For what? Doesn't matter. Just put it in.
You got to feel like Andy Garcia or someone has got to be going, look at the original script. It was amazing. Yeah. And they put all this romance fighting bullshit in there. Yeah, it made... I was hoping... Because the movie was getting so dumb, I literally was sitting there going... I was waiting for it's all a dream. They're going to wake up from hyperspace and go, I had the craziest dream.
Yeah.
You were in it.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought he was alone for so long, he would start seeing, I don't know, time, death, and love. So.
Oh. Collateral Beauty. Another piece of shit.
I can't believe it. It was like two trailers in a row. This movie had nothing to do with the trailer.
Yeah.
I have a very specific nitpick with this movie too, and I did the same thing with Interstellar, and I can get into that if we have time, but it's they're on a ship on which no pod has ever failed, has a planned journey, no one will be awake for the entire journey, and there is nothing built in to account for the fact that someone may be awake. So why is there a voiceover pointing out the star that they pass on the way?
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that, too. You may want to get to a viewing window. Yeah.
Why is there a voiceover? who's going to be watching it? The empty ship with all the fail-safe-proof pods?
Well, maybe it was for the robots.
The robots? The robots are going to go see it?
Well, the only thing, and this is... I can't believe I'm defending this movie. but the one thing why I didn't have a problem with that, because I was just like, oh... When his pod awoke, the people are awaking from their pods system started. So that's like everything just got turned on, and the food, and the bartender was there.
The viewing area.
But why record a viewing voiceover for a viewing area that no one will see in the time that the pods are awake?
Yeah.
They're only supposed to wake up 4 months before the end. This thing was a third of the way through the journey. why even record? We're about to slingshot around
the
star.
It was a dynamic AI. It adjusted for the early, the early.
Al is rolling in his grave.
Yes. So that, that one segment in 2001 was 1,000 times more interesting than this entire movie.
I wanted there to be a rogue AI. I wanted the bartender reminded me so much of The Shining.
Yes.
And he was, and I was waiting for it to be like, you've always been here, Chris Pratt.
Right.
Right.
Like,
you know, aliens, AI, malfunction. Give me something interesting.
Aliens would have made this movie 100 times.
Well, the thing, and the other thing, so there was a scene when Chris Pratt was like going around the ship. There was a quick little shot of like a smaller ship that, you know, like a little shuttlecraft that was in there. And I thought, they just sort of showed that in passing. So then when Lawrence Fishburne wakes up and they're like, the ship's dying, I thought it was going to be, we got to get in the shuttlecraft, and then they were going to land on some other crazy planet and have to start a crazy new life their own.
Like some kind of dinosaur planet?
Yeah, something like that. Exactly. Yes. You're going to land on Hoth or something.
Perfect.
But no.
Again, more interesting. That would have been more interesting.
Yeah, and then they had to, or like, I thought there was going to be some, like there's a couple of those space shuttles, but they can house 80 people. All right, we got to wake up 80 people and get them out of here.
80 people or four celebrities.
Yeah.
Oh man, and what if Chris Pratt had been some like old ugly fat dude too? Like that's the thing. Like
he's just creepy.
Yeah, it would have made
it's like a creepy guy.
Would have
like,
taken even longer to win Jennifer Lawrence over.
I work with engineers, and while yes, there's a lot of like okay looking engineers, there's also a lot of very socially awkward and not able to woo Jennifer Lawrence engineers.
Right.
So the fact that the one that opened up was not even an engineer, a mechanic, they say.
Yeah.
Yet this mechanic, who presumably works on cars and lawnmowers back on Earth, can, you know, reprogram the upgraded
technology.
Roombas on this on the spaceship. It's,
it was
it was a travesty for the eyes.
Yeah, it really was.
It's more disappointing. Like when you know you go in thinking a movie's going to be bad, it's going to be bad from like premise to execution to finish. But when you have a really cool premise and a great start, and then the movie unravels from there, it's like you almost feel more cheated.
Yeah,
because you have the groundwork laid out, and you know you couldn't figure it out.
It's all of your dashed hopes really turn to anger because you're just like if you just look at certain trailers come out and you go, oh, that's going to be a mess.
Right. I know exactly what this movie's going to be.
It's going to be a mess. This
50
one,
Shades Darker, I know what this movie's going to be.
Yeah, we know that. Yeah. We just all went, okay. That,
got it. All right.
It's going to be dumb. But this, like you say, great premise.
Yeah.
And man, this could be cool. I got to say, like,
big budget, great production design, great casting.
Yes. Mm-hmm. This has been a pretty lame Oscar year so far.
Yeah,
hasn't been great.
These are where Collateral Beauty was supposed to be some Oscar movie. That's an absolute failure. This is a bomb. This is getting 30-some% on Rotten Tomatoes,
which is still better than Collateral Beauty.
Yeah, I mean, what are the? I mean, I guess we got to go. The ones I haven't seen yet are like Manchester by the Sea, and Moonlight. I guess we got to go see those smaller films.
I feel like Dunkirk's just lining up to clean house.
It is right now. Yeah. What is its competition?
Yeah,
because there's no big. Because, you know, the Oscars get...
Jackie's getting some buzz, although I'm still very skeptical after that trailer.
Yeah, I'm skeptical of Jackie. I'm skeptical of Silence.
You and everyone who saw the trailer.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Like, Dunkirk is just going to clean up. Mm. And I'm sure, like, Manchester by the Sea and Moonlight and a couple of those little smaller indies that have rock-solid casts, I'm sure they're going to get some of the acting nods.
Yes.
And... Well, this will get production design.
Yeah.
I mean, this will get...
And special effects. And
special effects.
Yeah.
It'll get production design and special effects and a couple of those technical ones.
But it won't beat Star Wars.
It won't beat Star Wars. I wonder, though, is it... I mean, maybe does the Academy learn their lesson with Joy last year, which they just gave Jennifer Lawrence just because she's Jennifer Lawrence and it wasn't a good movie?
Well, I think that was her gimme.
And this is it.
No, this is
it. Yeah, this is... Yeah, nobody's getting one for this.
Right.
Yeah.
They were going for the castaway vote, though, with Chris Pratt.
Sure.
Like, going for the, you know, isolated on his own.
It's hard to act by yourself.
Yeah.
You know, it's
hard. He didn't even have to. He had the bartender. Yeah. Like, it's, like I said, it was The Shining, 100%. Mm-hmm. Even the way they made the
Michael
bartender
Sheen's
look.
An amazing actor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Even without legs.
Yeah. He doesn't need legs to be a good actor.
Yes. But, yeah, and that was the other thing, too. It's like you... The thing about Castaway, there was no other person or robot in it. He was talking to a volleyball.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you felt that sense of isolation more. Mm-hmm. You're like, well, you still have a robot to talk to.
And you saw Tom Hanks kind of start to go nuts a little bit.
Yes. And you saw a physical change in him, too. Like, you know, Chris Pratt had a beard.
A fake beard.
Yeah. And everything else, the rest of his body looked
Tom
exactly
Hanks
the
took
same.
Seven, like something like 7 months off to lose that weight.
Right.
Grow the beard,
yeah,
and then come back
and shoot. Yeah, the rest.
So it was really, and I remember reading when they did Castaway that the Zemeckis took the crew because they had to stop down for 7 months in the middle, and he shot this Harrison Ford movie where he part of his murder. I forget anyway. Like Harrison Ford murdered his wife or something like that. That Zemeckis did.
I know.
You know what I'm talking about? Mm. But that was the deal they had to make. For the studio, like Tom Hanks and Robert Zemeckis, that was a done deal. But oh, by the way, we have to stop down for 7 months. And he's like, so this crew that you're spending a lot of money on will be making this movie in the interim. So it was like,
thank you.
And this movie didn't have any of that, man. It was just, I don't know, it's a real flat year for the Oscars. It's just a flat year.
No,
at least paying the difference for my beer. I needed the alcohol after that.
We're paying the tab right now, guys. That's what's going on in this spoiler app. So, yeah, I don't know. This movie is really disappointing on so many levels. And it's just bombing, man.
I mean,
it is.
And the thing is, we walked into it with low expectations. And I think it almost made it worse to go in thinking it was going to be bad, and then feeling like, at least for me, I felt the beginning, the first half of the movie, I was like,
okay,
maybe this is going to be better than I expected it to be.
Yeah.
And then it just yanked it back out. And that's the thing, is if they could have...
I was still on board 15, 20 minutes in.
They could have used that premise, and, you know, cut out some of the in-between and give it a killer ending. And man, that would have been a solid movie. And so when you're walking into it with low expectations, you're like, maybe people are just being overly critical because it wasn't the movie we thought it was going to be, but it's going to have this great twist or something. And no, it just dropped it. It's like great production design, great scenes, great... I mean, that spaceship design was incredible. I mean,
well, that's the thing I loved about the spaceship was like, I was going... Sometimes I think production design, science fiction production design... can fall into a rut.
Mm-hmm.
Someone will come up with some sort of groundbreaking view of the future.
It'll be Star Trek or Star Wars.
Yeah.
Those are the two, you know, designs that everything gets based on.
Based on that. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, and if someone comes up with a new version of the future, then it gets mimicked a bunch of times.
Like Oblivion looked fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you see a bunch of different suits and spaceships that all sort of look alike. This one was really cool. And it was sort of based on what an actual space, like the
current... the rotation, like the idea that you have the shield in front of, you know, the particle shield, the, you know, Star Wars, the deflector shield, all that, to block, because that's the whole thing they talk about. If you're going that fast, you hit a pebble and your whole thing's going to be incinerated. So they actually dealt with some real sci-fi topics.
It has to rotate because you have to create gravity.
That's how you create gravity. It has, like, the fusion generator in the end with that. They actually even showed, like, a magnetic containment field and all this stuff that was actually real sci-fi concepts, real hard sci-fi. And... I mean, we were talking about going to see The Space Between Us, and I said to Chris, I don't want to see that because I'm afraid that it's going to take a great sci-fi basis and ruin it with a terrible coming-of-age story.
Right.
And this
Thank
one,
God.
And this one,
we
I feel like
we didn't even get disappointed on a similar level here.
And this one, I feel like they took a great sci-fi premise and setup, and actually even did a lot of the things that add solidity to it. In the same way that, like, Interstellar had so much more weight because of all these things that we dealt with, and, you know, my issues with the communication of data through ticking of a second hand on a watch, aside, that's my big problem with that movie. Quick preview. It had credibility because of the way it actually dealt with these sci-fi concepts. And this one did it. It just did it all as background to this frustrating love story.
Oh, man. Just like... And also,
even when the love story was unfolding, you're like, all right, well, when are we going to get to the point where she hates him?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're hitting these beats. We're just
we know she's going to find out.
Right.
We know she's going to be mad.
It's going to be
They took way too much time with it because it is an interesting moral dilemma that he was facing.
Yes.
Because it's easy to sit here and say, oh, you should just tough it out for 90 years. And let these people have their lives while you're going insane. He's going nuts. You're all alone. Yeah. You're going nuts. Yeah. So it's a moral dilemma. And what would you do? And when he does that and has to reveal to her. But then they took so long for him to reveal to her. And then so long for her to be mad. And then Lawrence Fishburne wakes up and it's still boring. And it's just like that moral dilemma, they could have handled it in so much better ways.
Yeah. It just got watered down where it wasn't interesting.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because what they did, So all the science that you were talking about that they actually use.
I mean, really, why didn't he wake up three hot women?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, increase your odds. Maybe the person you wake up just hates you.
Yeah.
Because this is it's a real issue, though. I remember watching a TV show on the potential for Mars exploration and how long it would take. And one of the things they said is you need to have couples that are sexually compatible because you're going to be
of loneliness.
It's the idea of a generation ship, it's like this big sci-fi concept. This was kind of an alternate version of it, but like a generation ship where you have generations of people and their kids, and it's their grandkids that show up at the place,
right?
Not them, and they just sign up saying, "Look, I know that like I'm going to die on this ship, but I'm going to have my kids. I'm going to raise my kids to be engineers on this ship, and they're going to raise their kids to be farmers on the new world. And by the end there, it'll be okay." It's like you almost see in the two of them are like, okay, are they going to repopulate society from inside the ship or what? Like, but I would have loved to see more people waking up at the end, but they tried to keep it so focused on the two of them.
Too. What if they had a kid?
Yeah.
You know, the kid, depending on when they had it, might... Like, would the kid
I think then you end up on the space in the space between us. I think that's what that means.
Because the kid might have made it to the planet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But they tried to keep the movie... It was like they got too focused on their stars. They were too focused on Jennifer Lawrence and Chris Pratt being the central of the movie and them being
Jennifer Lawrence and Chris Pratt.
Yeah, exactly. And them being the whole core of the movie. Because if at the end of the movie you had more pods malfunctioning, more people... I mean, they did it. And when Lawrence Fishburne woke up, you're like, wow, this is getting way more interesting. But no, they kill him off in 5 minutes.
Right.
Imagine if Lawrence Fishburne woke up and then the captain wakes up and he's like, there's something wrong. And then, some more crew and some more passengers wake up and more people are getting there and they're trying to figure out what's going on. And now half of them are awake and have to keep society going until it makes it. And they go, okay, we're going to keep this going for the other half that are going to be there. And we'll sacrifice we'll build a society for them or something like that. But no, it just kept it at the two of them. And it just kept circling back around the two of them, circling around each other.
Yep.
And it's like the ship itself was a metaphor for the movie. The ship is just circling around the middle piece and going nowhere, but it's not going anywhere.
It was exhausting watching that movie.
It was exhausting.
Didn't help that it was 2 hours long.
No,
oh, God.
It did itself no favors.
That was an affront.
Yeah.
Well, any final thoughts?
I don't think so. I think we covered it fairly concisely. Yeah, there's nothing else to add. Just want to thank Joe the Patron. So we really...
Glad to help.
Really appreciate supporting the Kickstarter and for being a fan and... we're going to do this again. When Graham does his graphic novel, this will be another reward, so there will always be an option for this.
Yeah, this is a cool thing.
This is really fun. We like doing these.
These have been fun to do, and it's been it's a cool thing because there's... Well, like we saw Morgan. I don't know that we ever would have gone out to see Morgan and never would have done a spoiler for Morgan.
And it was a fun spoiler app.
This was cool. I'm glad... I'm glad we got to see this movie early.
Yes.
Because I can't wait to let people know...
Not to see it.
Not to see it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do the favor you did for me with Collateral Beauty.
Yeah.
Which we almost saw tonight.
I know.
Oh, God. I've been taking bullets for people.
We dodged one bullet to run right into another one.
Yes.
this movie was the meteor that tore through
all the systems
of reactors.
The ship.
Yeah.
Can people find you online, Joseph?
Not really at all.
Are you not on Twitter or Facebook or anything? Okay.
Good
for
you.
It's not interesting if you go chase it down.
But if anyone wants to buy a laser, where would they go?
Go to Cimer Inc. in San Diego. But yeah. If you have an extra $50 million sitting around. So.
All right. So, guys, use coupon code CFN.
Yeah. And get it for $40
million. Get it for $10 million. It's not a bad deal if you're out there in the laser shop.
You got to get one anyway.
Get one before the holidays.
Keep watching comedy film nerds. Keep listening to comedy film nerds and keep contributing, because that's how they keep doing it. That's my pitch.
Thanks, Joe.
Thanks, Joe.
Well, thanks for being on the show. Thanks for contributing. Guys, of course, Earbuds is for sale.
Yes.
DVD, by the time you're listening to this, may or may not.
It's going to be close.
It'll be close.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's also on Vimeo now.
Yes, it's on Vimeo now, and we're working on
you can
Amazon
rent it
right now.
On Vimeo.
Yes,
and download it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's working on Amazon and iTunes. The Amazon and iTunes takes a while.
Yeah, it should be on Amazon by now. It's funny, we're like time traveling these plugs.
Sure.
iTunes will. It won't be on iTunes.
Yeah. But you can pre-order the DVDs and download the movie. And if you already have watched it, please, you know, spread it on your social media. Even if you're like, Graham, I only got 100 people that follow me.
Doesn't matter, man.
Yeah,
it all helps. Oh. You know, reviews for the podcast on iTunes, reviews for the movie on IMDb, or when it's up on Amazon, Amazon, and when it's up on iTunes, iTunes. It all helps.
It all helps us do more cool stuff, more cool things like Earbuds and Long Ago and Far Away and all the stuff we're doing. So... Joe, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you.
My name is Graham Elwood.
And I'm Chris Mancini. And as always, remember,
Han shot first.
I got to say it.
Yes.